their print disability, which makes reading, holding a book, or turning a page difficult or impossible. The content is copyrighted by the respective publishers. For more information, please visit us on the web at nfradioreading.org.
Welcome to Around Our Area, a weekly look at community newspapers from around the Western New York. Your reader for this hour is Patricia. Starting with the August 13th Amherst Bee from the front page. Amherst concerned citizens say they are watchdogs of the local government, by Bob Kupsik. What started as a community protest against the 11.4% tax increase in January of 2024 under then Amherst Town Supervisor Brian Culpa's administration led to the creation of the Amherst Concerned Citizens Group, which carries on to this day. Shelley Schratz and myself started it, and then that was after the 11.4% tax increase, said Amherst Concerned Citizens member Andrea Morganti. The group has no titles, such as president, vice presidents, etc., and members are considered organizers. It's an informal group, added member Bill Blake. There's no dues, no card. We're just allowed people to, you know, contribute. Members include former chief financial officers from both government and private industries and other experts who contribute their time to research and attend group meetings as needed. According to Blake, following the 11.4% tax increase, I said to myself, we need to start asking questions that aren't being asked, and we need to start challenging things and looking under the covers. Morganti and Blake said the Amherst Concerned Citizens have been addressing various issues in the town of Amherst, including the recent term limit resolution passed by the Amherst Town Board. Other issues they mentioned include the LED lighting project, the Westwood property, musical fair, Amherst Central Park, and others. Blake mentioned the group's successful campaign to stop the musical fair project, which also affected the Amherst Central Park project. So that's when people really started to get engaged, people both political parties. We got 4,700 signatures to stop that. So, you know, we were glad that we were able to make an impact. They say you can't fight City Hall. Well, we did. We fought City Hall and we stopped it. The Amherst Concerned Citizens say they are not anti-development. We think development is great, but it's got to be smart development, said Blake. It can't be development where developers are getting these huge tax credits and they're creating one or two jobs, and we see that all the time now. Blake said the group's efforts are to bring issues to light along with the need for more voter engagement. Both Morganti and Blake said they also want to promote positive information, not just the negative. Blake said he criticizes the current town board for its lack of checks and balances and the absence of dissenting votes on significant issues. The group frequently attends town board meetings and speaks during public expression and currently disagrees with restrictions from the board during public expression, such as not allowing clapping following audience members' comments and the possible enforcement of those rules and removal by a police officer in council chambers. Morganti and Blake said there is frustration with the town board's lack of attention to public presentations and the feeling that their concerns are not being heard. They also emphasized the group's commitment to being civil and transparent, despite accusations of being disruptive. We're watchdogs, said Morganti. That's how we think of ourselves, as the watchdogs for the taxpayers' money. They said the group has 75 to 80 active members and approximately 1,900 Facebook followers at www.facebook.com/AmherstNYCC. To contact the group, call 716-800-2557 or email amherstcitizens@gmail.com. Continuing with the Amherst Bee for August 13th, the column by the Amherst supervisor, Sean Levin, Getting the Lead Out, Amherst Pipes and Our Path Forward. Improving our water service has been a priority not only for the town of Amherst, but also our partners at the county, state, and federal level. Addressing these health safety issues takes a significant amount of coordination and funding. With temperature shifts, whether it's extreme hot or bitter cold, we'll see an increase of water main breaks, and crews have been busy addressing these issues. The town's engineering department has also been working on water line replacement projects in several neighborhoods. After finishing Semaran Drive and Pineview Drive in the past year, the next main project includes Cindy Drive, Ava Lane, and Kim Circle. The town is also going to be replacing portions of Paul Drive and Dutch Mill Drive, as well as Commerce Drive later this year. Upgrading aging water lines is a long-term replacement plan, and continued investments help prevent catastrophic and expensive infrastructure breakdowns down the road. Streets identified for replacement have a history of water main breaks, which disrupt neighborhoods and businesses. Upgrading the water lines provides an improved level of service. The process involves replacing cast iron water lines, typically with PVC. After 50 years, these cast iron pipes are deteriorating and can cause repetitive service outages, as well as environmental concerns. The new PVC pipes will last decades without worry of corroding or rusting, which is directly connected to the next project being tackled in Amherst, lead pipes. When towns and cities were first built, lead was the material of choice for water service lines. It was cheap, easy to bend around obstacles, and lasted for decades. Unfortunately, the health risks weren't yet understood, and by the time researchers confirmed the harm of lead exposure, those pipes were already buried under thousands of streets nationwide, including our own. Because there is no safe level of lead exposure, the EPA has ordered every water system in the country to identify and replace its lead service lines by 2037. Erie County Water Authority, which serves our town, began vacuum excavation investigation this summer to determine which service lines are lead, copper, or galvanized steel. If a line is found to contain lead, ECWA replaces it at no cost to the homeowner. Amherst is also part of a larger regional push. ECWA has applied for Water Infrastructure Improvement Act funding to replace roughly 1,000 lead service lines. On the state level, New York has leaned on the federal bipartisan infrastructure law and its own clean water infrastructure programs to push hundreds of millions of dollars towards the work. The funding pipeline, pun intended, has been slower and more complicated than any of us would like, but the problem is being addressed. To learn more, visit my2ecwa.org/get-the-lead-out. If you are currently impacted, running your tap for a minute before use and using a certified filter are simple, reasonable precautions. Our water infrastructure is a century old in places, and modernizing it isn't optional. It's overdue, and it's underway. And now a couple activity announcements from the August 13th Amherst Bee. Police Club to host 4th annual Cone with a Cop. The Town of Tonawanda Police Club will host its 4th annual Cone with a Cop community event from 6 to 8 p.m. Wednesday, August 26th at Anderson's Frozen Custard, 2235 Sheridan Drive in Tonawanda. The free family-friendly event gives residents an opportunity to meet members of the Town of Tonawanda Police Department in a relaxed setting while enjoying ice cream and conversation. The next community announcement, Amherst Senior Center front entrance to temporarily close for improvements. Beginning Thursday, August 13th, the front entrance of the Amherst Center for Senior Services, 370 John James Audubon Parkway, will be temporarily closed while improvement work is completed. The project is designed to improve safety and accessibility by leveling the front entrance, repairing existing concrete, and modifying the curb. During construction, visitors are asked to use the Wellness Center entrance located at the opposite end of the building. Ample parking is available near that entrance. Visitors are asked not to park in the Meals on Wheels parking lot. Senior Center officials thanked visitors for their patience and understanding while the improvements are completed and apologized for any inconvenience caused by the temporary closure. You are listening to Around Our Area on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. The time is 2:10, and we turn to the Clarence B for August 13th. Clarence High School earns fourth consecutive School of Distinction honor. Clarence High School has been named a School of Distinction by the New York State Public High School Athletic Association, Incorporated, for the fourth consecutive year, recognizing the academic performance of its students' athletes. Schools qualify for School of Distinction status when all of their varsity teams qualify and receive the Scholar Athlete Team Award during their respective sports seasons. To receive the Scholar Athlete Team Award, the average GPA of the top 75% of a team's roster must be at least 90. The School of Distinction recognition reflects the academic performance of Clarence student athletes across the school's varsity athletic program. This award represents far more than success on the scoreboard. It reflects the exceptional discipline, time management, and dedication of our student athletes who balance rigorous academic schedules, daily practices, and competitions without ever losing sight of their primary mission in the classroom, said Jason Lembeck, Director of Health, Physical Education, and Athletics for the Clarence Central School District. Clarence's academic accomplishments came alongside success in athletic competition during the 2025-26 school year. Clarence teams won 9 Section 6 titles during the school year. The School of Distinction Award is presented annually by NYSPHSAA to schools whose varsity athletic programs demonstrate a high level of academic achievement. For the 2025-26 school year, 118 schools earned School of Distinction recognition, while 237 schools earned the School of Excellence Award. The School of Excellence Award recognizes schools in which at least 75% of their varsity teams qualify for and receive the Scholar Athlete Team Award during their respective sports seasons. The commitment demonstrated by our member schools to academic excellence continues to be one of the greatest strengths of educational-based athletics, said Dr. Robert Zayas, NYSPHSAA Executive Director. These awards recognize entire school communities that value success in the classroom as much as success in competition. Clarence's fourth consecutive School of Distinction recognition highlights the academic achievement of its student athletes across the district's varsity athletic programs, while the school's 9 Section 6 championships marked another successful year in competition. Turning to local news in the Clarence B for August 13th, under News Briefs, the Clarence Contemporary Club will hold its monthly meeting at 9:45 a.m. Tuesday, September 15th at Sean Patrick's Restaurant, 3480 Millersport Highway, Gettysville. The program, Rock and Roll in Buffalo, will be presented by Rick Falkowski, followed by a $30 luncheon. Reservations are required by Thursday, September 3rd. For more information or to make a reservation, contact Barbara Brand at bawny@yahoo.com. The next news brief. Aidan Jonas of Clarence Center was named to the Dean's List at SUNY Purchase for the spring 2026 semester. Jonas is studying music production. Students in Bachelor of Arts and Bachelor of Science programs must earn a semester GPA of at least 3.5, while students in Bachelor of Fine Arts and Bachelor of Music Performance programs must earn at least a 3.75 GPA. Students also must complete a minimum of 12 credits. And the final news brief, the Clarence Newstead President Association will host a 9/11 memorial service from 7 p.m. on Friday, September 11th at Eastern Hills Westland Church, 8445 Griner Road, Williamsville. For more information, contact Dennis Rackett at 716-908-5662 or Pastor Steve Begner at 716-868-1232. Another local news item in the Clarence Bee. Buffalo man arraigned following incident at Amherst State Park. Joseph M. Brown, Jr., 39, of Buffalo, was arraigned before Amherst Town Court. Justice Jeffrey E. Marion, on one count of endangering the welfare of a child, one count of obstruction of governmental administration in the second degree, Class A misdemeanors, and one count of exposure of a person violation. It is alleged that on Tuesday, August 4th, at approximately 5:40 p.m., police responded after receiving a 911 call about a suspicious male at Amherst State Park on Mill Street in the village of Williamsville. The defendant is accused of exposing intimate parts of his body in a public place near a juvenile female. The defendant was not known to the victim. It is further alleged that the defendant refused orders by the officers and resisted being handcuffed during his arrest. Brown is scheduled to return for further proceedings at 10 a.m. on Thursday, August 20th. He was released under the supervision of the probation department. A temporary order of protection was issued on behalf of the victim. If convicted of the highest charge, Brown faces a maximum sentence of 364 days in jail. Erie County District Attorney Michael J. Keene commended the Amherst Police Department for their work in this investigation. The case is being prosecuted by Assistant District Attorney Marquez J. Baez of the Justice Courts Bureau. As are all persons accused of a crime, the defendant is presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. You are listening to Around Our Area on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, returning to the Cheektowaga Bee for August 13th. Short-term council appointment tabled in Cheektowaga by Michael Pulse. Republicans Vernon Thompson and Barbara Bukowski tabled a resolution Tuesday that would have appointed Parvez Rahman through the end of the year to a vacant Cheektowaga Town Board seat left by Democratic Council member Stephen Nowicki, who recently resigned. The tabled item is likely to be brought back for a vote at the next meeting. A general election will be held November 3rd, featuring endorsed Democrat Rachel Martinez and Republican-endorsed candidate David DeFields, Jr., to fill the remainder of Nowicki's term, which ends December 31st, 2027. If the resolution to appoint Rahman passes, he would only serve as a temporary council member until the election winner takes office. Resolution 2026-540, sponsored by Supervisor Brian Nowak and council members Monica Elderkin, Tiffany Lewis, and Brian Pilarski, states that a vacancy exists, that Rahman of Cheektowaga expressed interest in serving, and that he meets all the necessary qualifications. If the resolution passes, Rahman will only serve through December 31st, 2026. Opponents of the proposed move, including Thompson, Bukowski, and Cheektowaga Republican Committee Chair Don Filipski, argued the short-term appointment was unnecessary with the election less than 3 months away. They also believe the appointment is a move by Democrats to secure the votes needed to override the state tax cap for the 2027 budget. The budget must be passed by November 20th. Exceeding the tax cap requires 5 approval votes from the board. I feel that this is dirty politics at its finest, Filipski said. I don't agree with this at all, Bukowski said. It's a motive, and again, the residents, the taxpayers, are going to be taxed to death here. Supervisor Brian Nowak defended the proposed appointment. My approach here in my seat as supervisor has been, when there's an opening, let's work to get a full board, he said. He noted that the board previously operated with 6 members for a full year after a vacancy in 2024 because there were not enough votes to appoint a replacement. That led to 3-3 votes and delayed projects, including an infrastructure plan, Nowak said. This is not the first time the board has filled a vacancy with a temporary appointment ahead of an election. In February 2025, the then Republican majority appointed former supervisor Diane Benskowski to a seat left vacant by the death of council member Jerry Kaminsky. That appointment ran through the end of 2025, about 10 months, with voters deciding in November election who would finish the term. Benskowski ran in that election and lost. Nowak said he abstained from the appointment vote rather than voting against it. Nowak reaffirmed that Rahman is not a candidate on the November ballot, so residents will still choose who completes the remainder of the term through December 31, 2027. He also pointed to Rahman's background in finance and business administration. I think the person that is being recommended would help round out the board and add a new perspective and some new experience to things, said Nowak. Continuing with the Cheektowaga Bee for August 13th, the column by Town of Cheektowaga Supervisor Brian Nowak. In the 20th century, the United States undertook an incredible amount of development, building suburban communities from coast to coast. The construction of the suburbs required major infrastructure projects to provide roadways, drainage, utilities, and other services to the millions of new homes being built. First-ring suburbs like Cheektowaga have subdivisions built in nearly every decade over the last century. Some of our neighborhoods have already seen reinvestment in the infrastructure, from sanitary sewer improvements to electrical grid upgrades, water and natural gas lines being replaced, and storm sewer drainage work as well. All this infrastructure maintenance comes at a significant cost to ratepayers and taxpayers. Locally and across the country, we see a fair amount of repairs and upgrades dictated by infrastructure failures, bridges collapsing, failures in the electrical grid, storm and sanitary sewers collapsing, and new demand on the existing system that requires investment to help service customers and residents. Entire cities in the western and southern regions of the United States are being built in areas where freshwater sources are limited and the revenue streams to support the infrastructure will force hard choices in the future. When there is room to grow, the choices are easy. New developments will support the costs of existing work. That is the answer both for those who maintain private utilities and public infrastructure managers. When the development slows, the choices for utility companies and governments become tougher to maintain service levels that the people have come to expect. Western New York is home to both one of the largest sources of fresh water on Earth and the oldest housing stock in the United States. These two factors make it even more important for long-term planning to maintain the infrastructure that makes the American way of life possible. Erie County saw an increase in population growth in the most recent census. It won't be for the last time that happens. In the decades to come, I believe we will see the Great Lakes region become a primary destination once again. Atlanta, Georgia, experienced a slight outmigration recently after 30 years of consistent growth. That is not to say the city has a growth problem or has entered some new stage of its life cycle. It simply shows that things change, and with long-term plans, those changes can be worked through rather than reacted to. Cheektowaga's future is bright. We continue to be a destination bedroom community with homes entering and leaving the market at one of the fastest rates in Western New York. The work we do here to maintain and improve the infrastructure that serves our residents and businesses will pay dividends in the decades to come. But more importantly, it will improve the lives of all of us here and now. Making Cheektowaga an affordable and desirable place to live in the long run requires consistent investments in infrastructure maintenance. Yes, our population was higher in the 1990s than it is today, but more than 80,000 people still call the town of Cheektowaga home. Thoughtful and proactive maintenance of our utilities and infrastructure is critical to our future success. As always, I welcome your feedback. I can be contacted by phone at 716-686-3465 or by email at bnowak@tocny.org. Continuing with the Cheektowaga Bee for August 13th, House on Alpine Place Struck by Gunfire, No Injuries, by Michael Pulse. A house on Alpine Place was struck by gunfire early Sunday after multiple people reported hearing shots. Cheektowaga police said no one was injured. Several 911 calls began coming in at 12:32 a.m. Sunday, August 9th, according to a police spokesman. Officers responded to the scene. Authorities confirmed a house was hit, but could not say how many rounds struck the residence. A witness reported hearing three shots, though the police have not verified that account. No one was struck by the gunfire. Detectives have not identified any suspects. The investigation remains in its early stages, including efforts to determine whether the house was an intended target. The spokesman said it seems like it was. Police also reportedly located spent casings in front of the house, though that detail remains unconfirmed. Spectrum Health marks Overdose Awareness Day. Spectrum Health and Human Services will present the 6th annual Not One More, Stand Together to End Overdose, a free evening of music, remembrance, and resources from 5 to 8 p.m. Wednesday, August 26th at Veterans Memorial Park in West Seneca behind Town Hall, 1250 Union Road. This free and family-friendly event is a community collaboration to commemorate International Overdose Awareness Day, a global initiative to raise awareness and remember lives lost to substance abuse. Friends and family members are invited to bring a photograph of a loved one who lost their life to overdose. These photos will be added to the custom-made We Remember banner. You're listening to Around Our Area on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. The time is 2:30, and we turn to the Lancaster Depew Bee for August 13th. From the front page, the Lancaster Opera House property to receive David Bondro Way Historic Street Sign by James Sinner. When the late creative director at the Lancaster Opera House, David Bondro, passed away in April of this year, a community mourned the loss of a man who dedicated so much of himself to the betterment of a beloved institution. A celebration of his life, starting with a special designation of the area outside the Opera House and Town Hall as David Bondro Square, will begin at 11 a.m. Saturday, August 15th. Following the outdoor ceremony, attendees were invited inside for a celebration of Bondro's life that included free food and a cash bar, raffles, a memorial presentation, and other activities. We wanted to make sure that we gave him a proper celebration of life that was open to the entire community and theater community. We landed on his birthday as a date for the ceremony, said John Kazrowski, who was appointed to the position of creative director after Bondro passed. Kazarowski said he was honored that the town and board worked together on the creation of David Bondro Square, finding it a fitting tribute to the man who made such a large impact on both the organization and people around him. I think it's great. He had a big vision for this whole area, and I know that he worked hard with organizations like LVMA, that's Lancaster Village Merchants Association, and Supervisor Bob Leary and supervisors before him to really make this village a beacon and something more than what has been envisioned in the past, he said. I think it's a tremendous testament to his long-term impact on the community and his vision for this area. The David Bondro Legacy Fund's first fundraiser will take place during the celebration of life. All proceeds will provide support to community-oriented aspects of the organization, including a future community center on West Main Street, which will act as a satellite location for the Opera House to host classes for seniors and kids. I was looking for some way we could celebrate all of the hard work that David did while he was the director at the Opera House, said Town of Lancaster Supervisor Bob Leary. He was really pushing for the New York Forward funding, and that then expanded out into the different groups. Leary said that the sign will be located roughly 10 or 15 feet away from Clark Street, closely positioned to the front of Town Hall, standing as a constant reminder of Bondro's legacy. Unlike actual street signs, this historic street sign will be brown in color and acts as an area marker for anyone entering Town Hall. Leary added that a plan for a plaque embedded in stone is also in the works to honor Bondro. Two extra green street signs bearing the name David Bondro Way were produced, with one each going to the Lancaster Opera House and Bondro's family. The Village of Lancaster Board of Trustees made the changes to the area possible, voting in approval of the property alterations surrounding Town Hall. The signs were produced by AdWorks free of charge. I think he did a wonderful job at the Opera House, said Mayor Bill Schroeder. He brought in a lot of very popular shows, and I think it's a great venue. Continuing with the Lancaster Depew Bee, the column by Kevin Peterson, Village of Depew Mayor. Some late summer thoughts. Have you noticed that the sun is setting a little earlier each evening? It seems like just yesterday we were looking forward to Memorial Day, making summer vacation plans and wondering what this year's weather would bring. Now here we are in the middle of August, and before long children will be heading back to school. The Bills football season will be kicking off, leaves will begin changing color, and whether we like it or not, winter won't be too far behind. Time really does have a way of moving faster every year. As I thought about what to write this month, I realized August has always felt like a month of transition. Summer isn't over, but you can definitely feel it beginning to wind down. It's a good reminder to slow down just a bit and enjoy what's left of these warm evenings, backyard barbecues, walks through the neighborhood, and time spent with family and friends. One of the things I enjoy most about serving as your mayor is seeing our community come together. Throughout the summer, I've had the opportunity to attend events, visit with residents, and talk with so many people who genuinely care about the village of Depew. Whether it's someone volunteering at a community event, coaching a youth sports team, maintaining a beautiful flower garden, supporting a local business, or simply lending a helping hand to a neighbor, these everyday acts are what make our village such a wonderful place to call home. Sometimes we get caught up in the headlines or focus on what needs to be fixed. Well, there is always work to do, and there always will be. I think it's equally important to recognize everything that is going right. We have dedicated village employees who work hard every day, police officers and firefighters who serve with professionalism and pride, volunteers who generously give their time, and residents who truly care about the community. Those are things worth celebrating. Even though summer is beginning to wind down, our calendar is far from empty. One event I hope everyone will attend is our Village of Depew Fall Festival on Saturday, September 19th at Fireman's Park from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. It promises to be another great family day with food trucks, local craft vendors, live music from the Barnstone Band performing from 3 to 5 p.m., children's activities in our family-friendly zone, touch a truck, Western New York trackless train rides from 1 to 4 p.m., a youth basketball tournament, and plenty of opportunities to spend time with friends and neighbors. And on September 12th, the Village of Depew will host the 88th Annual Pulaski Day Parade, which starts at Village Hall at 11:30 a.m. Proceeds down Manitow and follows Terrace Boulevard to Veterans Park, where there will be music, food, and activities from noon until 5 p.m. The entire day will be run by the General Pulaski Association, Incorporated. Events like these remind us that some of the best memories are made close to home. As your mayor, I remain optimistic about where our village is headed. We continue working to improve our infrastructure, invest in our parks and public spaces, support our local businesses, and provide the quality public services our residents expect and deserve. Those efforts may not always make headlines, but they make a difference every single day. Before we know it, summer will give way to autumn, autumn to winter, and another year will be drawing to a close. My hope is that all of us take a little time to enjoy these last few weeks of summer and appreciate the people and the community that make the Village of Depew such a special place. Thank you for allowing me the privilege of serving as your mayor for the past 7.5 years and trustee for the initial 4 years. I have never taken the responsibility for granted, and I look forward to completing my second term, working with all of you to keep our village moving forward. Enjoy the rest of the summer, stay safe, and I hope to see you around the village. Continuing with the Lancaster Depew Bee for August 13th, the column by Robert Leary, the Town of Lancaster Supervisor. A friend, colleague, and credit to the community. For those who do not know, Diane Terranova has decided to retire from her position as Lancaster Town Clerk at the end of August, with her final town board meeting being Monday, August 17th. Most of us have seen Diane's name on our tax bills and other official documents over the past decade. Many in our community have had the opportunity to work directly with Diane and her staff, while others know her through her years of service with the Lancaster Rotary Club and the many charitable causes she supported. It is safe to say that Diane is one of the best known and most respected people in our town. Diane began her career with the town of Lancaster as a part-time clerk in 2005. After working for Erie County, she returned to the town full-time in 2010. She was appointed second deputy town clerk in 2012, first deputy town clerk in 2013, and was elected town clerk in 2016. Her dedication and professionalism have been recognized throughout Erie County and New York State, including being named New York State's best town clerk in 2025. I first met Diane while running for town council in 2018 and had the privilege of working with her and after taking office in 2019. She has generously mentored me and helped me understand how our town operates. I would not be the supervisor I am today without her sage advice. Through thousands of conversations, we developed a simple mantra: always do the right thing, no matter what. Diane lived by that principle every day. Diane is truly the best of the best that Lancaster has to offer. Her dedication, knowledge, and friendship will be deeply missed. Looking at some local news in the Lancaster DePue Bee for August 13th. DePue Community Center announces upcoming events. The DCC will host a community yard sale from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, September 12th. Sellers who wish to participate can request an application for an outdoor or indoor space by sending an email to depuecommunitycenter@gmail.com. The cost for an indoor space is $25 for participants that bring their own table, or $30 for participants that are provided a table by the DCC. The cost for an outdoor space is $30 for participants that bring their own table, or $30 for participants that are provided a table. This event is free to attend and open to the public. Snacks and baked goods will be available. Sellers set up their tables at 8 a.m. and doors to the event open at 9 a.m. Care and Share Corner continues operations from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Mondays, 2 to 8 p.m. Wednesdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Thursday, and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturdays. Attendees can shop for free necessities, including personal care items, cleaning supplies, and over-the-counter medications. Jacob Marshall Memorial Blood Drive returns for the fifth and final year, by James Sinner. The fifth and final Jacob Marshall Memorial Blood Drive will take place from 8:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday, September 12th at St. Mary's Elementary School, 2 St. Mary's Hill, Lancaster. Jacob, a 2020 graduate of Lancaster High School, passed away in March of 2022 from Wilson's disease, a rare genetic illness that affected his liver. Jacob's family has held an annual blood drive every year since he passed away, along with a basket raffle to help give back to the Ronald McDonald House and Harbor House in Rochester. Both organizations housed members of Jacob's family during his stay at Strong Memorial Hospital. Appointments are not required, but those who choose to donate are encouraged to schedule an appointment online with redcrossblood.org. The amount of support and love that was at that initial drive made me, his father, and stepmom decide to make it an annual drive. This is our fifth annual drive in memory of Jake. We plan it each year for the Saturday before his birthday. This year, we are doing it a week early because two of his best friends are getting married on the Saturday before his birthday. Each year, we grow it bigger and have broken records each year with the amount of the new donors, said Jacob's mother, Jen Belstad, who launched the drive in 2022. During our month-long stay in Rochester while Jake was in the hospital, the generosity of Harbor House and Ronald McDonald House made it possible for his father and I to be right by his side. She added, in conjunction with the blood drive, we also hold a basket raffle to help give back to both of those wonderful organizations. Last year, we had over 100 baskets and several large ticket items. All ticket sales for the basket raffle get split and go to both houses to help other families that require their assistance. If you can't donate blood, please come check out the amazing baskets. Belstead hopes the blood drive will be their biggest yet. We would love nothing more than to hit the 100 donor mark. For updates on the blood drive, visit the official Jacob Marshall 5th Annual Memorial Blood Drive Facebook page. Continuing with the Lancaster Depew Bee for August 13th, under the Bee Herd column, call 716-632-0390 and express your opinion. The first opinion: I went to put a bag in the Salvation Army donation box by the Bowmanville Fire Hall. Someone left a couch and other items outside the box. The box was not full, and I was able to put my bag in it. There was a number to call for large donations. These items, after sitting in the rain, are useless. The Salvation Army will have to pay to get rid of them at another location. Someone even left a piano that ended up out in the rain. People are just rude. The next opinion. My family and our dog had a great time at the bark crawl on Saturday at Cuca Creek Park. The only thing that was missing was perhaps a water fountain and shade. When is the village and DPW going to start planting trees in what is supposed to be a green space? We were promised a park, and all we have is brown grass. Please plant some trees, Mayor Schroeder. The next opinion. This is for all the grocery store cashiers. The price of food has skyrocketed, as we all know, and I think they need to have better bagging experience. I've gone to two different stores located in the Lancaster-Depew area, and the cashiers feel that they need to put all of your groceries in one bag. Several times I've gotten home smushed bread and smushed lunch meat, and I don't appreciate that. I'm sure other people don't appreciate that either, because the bags are so heavy and that I can't even pick them up. I think they need to have better packaging experience, and I don't like to do the self-checkout because half of the self-checkouts are credit only. If you pay with cash, you can't, because most of the people in the cash lines are paying with credit. Editor's note, call 716-632-0390 to leave an anonymous one-minute Bee Herd comment. Callers may leave one comment per week, and the Bee will not publish comments substantially longer than 1 minute or containing derogatory or insulting comments. All comments are subject to editing and will only be included for local issues. You're listening to Around Our Area on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. We turn now to the Kenton Bee for August 13th. From the front page, town takes step toward future Cherry Farm Park along Niagara River. The town of Tonawanda has taken another step towards transforming the former Cherry Farm industrial site into a public waterfront park, after signing a letter of intent with the National Grid, the property's owner. Town Supervisor John Flynn said the agreement is not a lease, but signals both parties' intent to move toward one. The letter talks about a lease in the future and the town putting recreational activities on the property, Flynn said. It is not an official lease. That's the next step. We are moving in that direction. Located at 4290 River Road, the 55-acre Cherry Farm property was once home to a steel mill before later being used as an industrial waste disposal site. The property underwent a major environmental cleanup in the 1990s and now offers approximately 1/2 mile of Niagara River frontage with views of the river and island. Flynn said the town has completed numerous environmental studies over the years to ensure the property can safely support recreational uses. He noted that one additional test is planned before any future development moves forward. The toxic material has been capped, Flynn said, explaining that the protective cap cannot be disturbed because it serves as the barrier separating the public from the underlying contamination. The town has long envisioned converting the site into a waterfront destination. concept plans developed during former town supervisor Joseph Emminger's administration included walking and biking trails, parking areas, a pavilion, landscaping, and scenic overlooks. Flynn said those concepts remain under consideration. Additional features outlined in the preliminary master plan include a performance pavilion, open lawn spaces, picnic areas, a children's playground, wetlands, hiking trails, and recreational courts for activities such as bocce, sand volleyball, tennis, and basketball. According to the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, Cherry Farm and the adjacent 22-acre River Road site was owned by Wickwire Spencer Steel Company and used for disposal of steel manufacturing waste from approximately 1908 through 1963. Industrial waste continued to be disposed of at the site until about 1970. Environmental investigations conducted between 1984 and 1986 identified contamination requiring remediation. In 1994, a cleanup plan was selected that included stabilizing the riverbank, installing a protective soil cover, constructing groundwater extraction wells, and implementing long-term monitoring and maintenance. The approximately $13.4 million remediation project was designed by Parsons Engineering Science Incorporated and completed in the mid-1990s. To help move the project forward, the town board recently approved hiring J.O. Connell and Associates Incorporated to prepare an application for up to $1 million through the New York State's Environmental Protection Fund. Local Waterfront Revitalization Program. The grant would fund public engagement and design work for the proposed Cherry Farm Park. The board also authorized the required local match of 15% should the grant be forwarded. If the grant is secured and a lease agreement with National Grid is finalized, the project would mark another significant step towards converting a once contaminated industrial property into a public waterfront park, providing residents with new recreational opportunities while preserving one of the town's most scenic stretches of the Niagara River. 9/11 Patriot Day Healing Field, Moving Towards Healing. We continue with the Canton Bee for August 13th. 9/11, a day with unimagined devastation caused by terrorist attacks on the United States. Patriot Day, a national official day of remembrance and service honoring the victims of terrorist attacks, marked by flying flags at half staff and moments of silence. Healing Field, a spectacular display of 3,000 full-size American flags at Gratwick Riverside Park in North Tonawanda, sponsored by the Erie Niagara Sunrise Exchange Club, as a tribute of gratitude and remembrance. This year, the 25th anniversary of those tragic days, the Exchange Club will host its third inspiring display of flags at Gratwick Riverside Park from September 11th to the 13th. The theme, Remember and Never Forget, is a tribute to those who lost their lives and to families that are forever impacted. All proceeds will be donated to area veteran groups and first responders, Ron Chandra, chairman of the event, said. Chandra smiled in remembrance of 2016, the club's first healing field. The logistics of that first year, finding a place to attach the flags on poles, adding tags with the name and information of a person killed, plus tags with the name of a person being honored or remembered, transporting the flags to the park and putting them in place seemed overwhelming, and that didn't even count the number of volunteers we needed. Seeking sponsorships were a challenge as companies and organizations had a hard time understanding the enormity of the project. It was hard for some to envision 3x5 foot flags waving from 8-foot poles purchased from the Colonial Flag Foundation, George Bowler, co-chairman, explained. The club offered communities at large the opportunity to purchase a flag in honor or memory of a loved one for a $30 donation, then take his or her flag home at the end of the day. We were amazed at how many people wanted to be part of the tribute, Bowler said. This was Ron's idea, and his enthusiasm and determination to make it happen made even those who thought it would never work come aboard. Skandra is a founder of the Erie Niagara Sunrise Exchange Club and has served as club and district president, taking chairmanship of the Healing Field in 2016 and 2021, and co-chairman this year. When Ron asked me to help with the 2021 field, I saw the photo of the flag field in 2016 and was overwhelmed, Bowler said. After that healing field, I joined Exchange. Bowler is a U.S. Navy veteran serving in active duty from 1974 to 1982 and from 1982 to 1994 in the reserves as an aviation maintenance duty officer. He's commander of Orchard Park Post 567 American Legion, a scoutmaster for Troop 285 since 1984. He is proud of the 150 Eagle Scouts who have come from his troop in that time. This tribute means a lot to me personally, Bowler said. Skandra offered, "We should never forget, no matter how it happened, it doesn't matter. What matters is that 3,000 people lost their lives. We just have to remember them, their families and friends." This year, three-day remembrance will begin at 8:30 a.m. Friday, September 11th, with volunteers reading all 3,000 names. At 6 p.m. September 11th, the official ceremony with a speaker and musical presentation will begin. Those attending are encouraged to walk among the flags, say a prayer for those who lost their lives, and remember the 9/11 tragedy. On Saturday, September 12th, the musical presentation will begin at 1:30 p.m. with a ceremony at 2 p.m. On Sunday, September 13th, music will begin at 9:30 a.m., followed by a ceremony at 10 a.m. and an opportunity to retrieve flags that will be taken down to end the three-day tribute. This project is the Exchange Club's way of honoring those impacted by this horrific event. It's a tribute of honor, remembrance, and patriotism. For more information or to purchase a flag, contact Skandra at ronald.skiandra, that's S-C-I-A-N-D-R-A, at gmail.com, or call 716-316-0141. You've been listening to Around Our Area, a weekly look at community newspapers from around Western New York. Stay tuned for our second hour. Your reader for this hour has been Patricia. Thank you for listening.
Coming up next in the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, we have a reading of our Southtown's papers, including Orchard Park, Hamburg, East Aurora, and West Seneca's B papers or Suns. At 3 o'clock, we have the Ample Eagle, and at 4 o'clock, we have the Grand Island Niagara County Tribune Sentinel. Stay tuned for these readings and more throughout the day, and contact us if you have comments, suggestions, or questions. You're listening to the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. Volunteer radio readers broadcast daily readings 24 hours a day of newspapers, magazines, books, and other printed matter to area people who are blind or have a print disability, who are provided reading radios. The Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service has broadcast almost 40 years of radio readings to those without sight. Our broadcast signal is provided at no charge by WNED. Radio Reading Studios are at 1199 Harlem Road in Cheektowaga. For more information on the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service, call 716-821-5555. following program is intended for listeners who are blind, have low vision, or have another print disability.